Now, we're very, very, very honored to have our guest here, Philippe Salz. He's here in the studio to talk about his new album that's coming out in just 2 days, as well as this great show coming up in Cambridge on October 25th. It's going to be an amazing, amazing evening, a great event. And what we just heard was a track from the album. So, Philippe, you're here. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
very
you for
welcome.
Having.
Of course. So, what did we just hear?
This was a tune entitled Maracatu d'Orléans, which is, you know, maracatu is a rhythm from Brazil. And the idea was to combine that rhythm with more of a New Orleans second line groove. So the, you know, the playful idea of combining those two different rhythms in the, you know, the idea at the end is like, what happened if I take a maracatu and make it swing?
Right.
So, you know, some of those things I try to do just to find something different to play around with.
Cool. And obviously that sounds wonderful. And I had a very special guest on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had the privilege to have Randy Brecker as a special guest in the record, and he did three amazing tracks with us, and he was a wonderful musician to work with. We had done some playing before and after, and he was excited about the project, and it was a blast in the studio when he came.
Great. Well, we're definitely going to hear some more music that Randy was featured on in a little bit. But before that, let's talk about you to those that might not be familiar with you, Philippe. So why don't you introduce yourself to the wonderful listeners of the show?
Okay. Well, I lived in Boston from 95 to about 2001. I came from Brazil and study at New England Conservatory. I did a master's and some other stuff there. Stayed around and then moved to New York. Did a doctorate at Manhattan School. And now I moved back to the area. I teach at UMass Amherst. I'm a jazz studies professor there. And I guess that would be basically it. And I play around New York and Boston and around the world. Different projects.
Yeah. So who are some of the people that you've played with? I know a couple of them.
Yes. I currently play with Mungo Blue, Alex Alvear's project, and Gonzalo Grau's project, La Clave Secreta. I have my own band. There's a very interesting big band in New York I play with called Kyle Soignier's Awakening Orchestra. And, you know, I've done different stuff with people in New York, and those are the projects that I'm currently working with.
Great. And then, of course, there's this project, which is this album that is coming out in 2 days. So, Departure. This is your fifth one, right?
Yes, okay. That's correct. My first one on Tapestry Records, but my fifth artist album.
Right.
Yes.
Awesome. So, so let's talk about it. So we're playing music from it the whole show. We're playing two more in a little bit. So what is this album about?
Well, I've always tried to come up with ideas how I want to expand my, my repertoire and challenge my musicians. I'm fortunate to have the same musicians work with me for the last 12 years, especially Nando and Bertram. Nando Michelin and Bertram Lehman have been in my band for the last 12 years. Keala is new. He's been with me for a couple of years now. But it's always about trying to find a vehicle to do more creative writing and more challenging to improvise, you know, grow as a musician. So this one is a lot about combining 20th century classical composing techniques to my Brazilian influences, my jazz influences. So trying to come up with different ways of writing outside the box, let's say, you know, and explore harmonies and textures that would be challenging to find a way to improvise and say something different.
Yeah. That leads me to a question, actually, regarding your Brazilian roots. So, when did you come from Brazil here?
That was 1995.
Okay. So, do you go back often?
I do go back, you know, often it depends on the time. Lately, I've been there quite a bit. The last couple of years, I've been there every year. I might go back this year again, and it's happened that there's a lot of professional things going on down there for me. And there were times when I end up being in Europe for 2 or 3 years and not going to Brazil at all. So,
gotcha.
So you don't you never know. But it seems like there's going to be the scene there has changed quite a lot, and it's a great scene with great musicians. And I've been fortunate to the last couple of years I've been there to make a lot of connections and started, you know, collaborating with some people down there. So I'm hoping that this means I'll be coming back soon.
Yeah. You kind of began to even answer it, but what I was going to ask you is how you would characterize the jazz community, jazz scene down there in Brazil, and how you've seen that change then since the time that you've been traveling back and forth.
It has changed a lot, I think. When I left in 1995, one of the reasons why I left was really because I didn't feel like there was an environment to really play jazz down there. It was a lot about, there was a sort of like a xenophobic movement going on there where you could only play Brazilian music in a very traditional, very limited way of playing Brazilian music, which wasn't always what was my intention. I wanted to be more of a jazz approach to Brazilian music. A little more freedom and more improvisation, and that seemed to not be what people were into. So there was a lot of that. But in the course of almost 20 years, I've been here for 17 years now, things have changed quite a lot. The level of the musicianship has grown a lot, and the level of understanding what jazz is about down there also has grown quite a lot. And I think people are finding this connection between jazz and the Brazilian tradition in a way that is much more what I like to do than what it used to be.
Yeah, and I think that's evident based on the number of students from Brazil that have come over to Berkeley through the Sousa Lima Berkeley exchange that's been going on. It's really, really cool. Tons of amazing players.
Yes, and I also think that there's a lot of people who came around the time when I was in school here who went back and sort of like fed back the whole loop, you know, like guys like Chico Pinheiro, who's an incredible jazz guitarist, but his music is really rooted in the Brazilian pop. And guys like him really brought back a different perspective and are able to combine the richness of both traditions, and I think that guys like him really brought a different perspective to the scene down there.
Yeah, interesting. Well, Philippe, let's listen to another song from your album. What we're going to hear is Natural Selection, and this is also featuring Randy, right?
Yes.
What is this tune about? What's the deal?
That one is more of a, I wanted to have Randy play something more traditional in the Brazilian sense. So this tune, in a way, is a combination of an old school Brazilian jazz. Like if you look at in the 60s, what people were doing was they were more jazz influenced than they became later in the 80s and the 90s. Mm-hmm. And there was this sense of almost, you know, combining the Brazilian rhythms with more of like a Blakey approach to things. So this, the melody and the harmony are, in a way, you know, they have more of a jazz vibe, but the rhythm is very much a, you know, like a stop time samba at first and then kind of opens up into a more funky thing at the end. So I think it kind of combines the two things.
Okay, well, let's check it out. We're going to be listening to Natural Selection. You're listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. We'll be back with more from Philippe Salles in just a little bit. Keep it locked right here. listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB. We're here with Philippe Salles in the studio, and what we just heard was Natural Selection. It's from his new album. It's coming out in just a couple of days. It is called Departure, and we're very excited to be playing some exclusive selections from it. Philippe, have people heard the album yet, really, or is this one of the first listens?
No, it's been, you know, the label has been programming to have this out in a couple of days. So the only people who really heard it are maybe some of my students who get a chance to buy it, you know, directly from me. It's online now. It's on iTunes. It's on, hopefully soon, CD Baby, but Amazon, all over. There's like distributors all over the world now. Australia, Japan, whatever. So people can listen to some of it online. Hopefully soon they'll be able to listen to it, some of it online on my website. I'm working on some technical difficulties right now.
It happens. It's all good.
But it's like the big push is going to start in a couple of days.
Cool.
You know, CDs are being sent out to reviewers and radio stations. So I guess you're probably the first one to be playing this.
Okay. Well, then there we go. A very nice exclusive first listen here to Departure, which sounds fabulous, as we can all tell.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. And again, that tune that we just heard was called Natural Selection. It's the last track on the album. Now, the thing that is super exciting that we are very happy about here in Boston is that you will be having a CD release party, CD release show, on October 25th. That's a Thursday at 8 o'clock in Cambridge.
Yes.
It's at the Multicultural Arts Center. It's 41 2nd Street in Cambridge. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about this gig. What is it going to be like?
I'm hoping it's going to be as fun as the record. I mean, the same band is playing. Randy is not playing, but the quartet's playing, and a lot of the music there is written for quartet and quintet. So we're going to play the music from the album, maybe some other selections from my other albums. It's a gorgeous room if you've ever been there. It's a beautiful, you know, tall ceiling type of room, it's close by the Galleria Mall, so it's not a very difficult place to get to, and so I'm very excited. I've played that recently for the CD release party of Daniel Ian Smith's octet, the New World Jazz Composers Octet, which I'm a member of, and I write some music for.
Oh, great!
So after that, I was like, well, I should get my band here and do our CD release here.
Yeah, and repeat if you've mentioned this before, but how long have you been playing with this group?
This group, the core of the group, which I consider to be Bertram Lehman and Nando Michelin, we've been together for 12 years now.
Okay.
So pretty much around the time I got out of school, 1999 or so, to this day. And it's a privilege to have, you know, I always say that the greatest collaborations that you see in this music are people who stuck together for a long time, you know, and that's very important, because especially as a composer and a band leader, you get to have your vision, you know, out there and played by people who really get to know your band, your music deeply, you know, they spend time on it, they know who you are, and they really know how to make it happen.
Yeah. So do you write all the compositions, or is it kind of a mixed bag?
I do write all the compositions, and sometimes we play, I wouldn't say standards exactly, but I like to play different pieces of the jazz repertoire with a little bit of a twist, you know, some Herbie or Wayne and things like that. Not the exact same way they would have been played, but it's mostly my compositions.
Great. Very, very nice. So we know that this concert is going to be great. But Philippe, for those that are maybe on the fence, or maybe ones that are traveling from a little far to get to Cambridge, what would be your pitch, your quick pitch, to tell them to come to the show and to make it out on the 25th?
Well, I think that they'll get to see a band that really has an incredible chemistry, an incredible history together. They're going to see music that I believe is unique, is music that nobody else is doing this way. And I think it will be a great show. It will be a lot of fun. It will be something different.
And I'm sure it will be, for sure. And just again, just to reiterate, it's on the 25th of October. It's a Thursday night at 8 p.m. at the Multicultural Arts Center in Cambridge. Now, Philippe, I have a question for you. You have played with a lot of people, as we talked about. Who is it that you have not collaborated with or have not played with that you would really, really like to? Your dream of anybody you could have?
If I could have anybody, I mean, at this day and age, with the ones that are left in the planet who haven't gone up, you know, yet, I think I would probably say Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
My biggest dream was really to play with Elvin, but I, you know, didn't make to that. I think Herbie would be one of my favorite musicians, someone who I really would like to play with.
Yeah. Even my dad says that he really wants to play with Herbie. So yeah, Herbie is definitely the one up there, it seems. Now, branching off of that, the current jazz community, a lot of up and coming players, which you see, of course, being a teacher, you see them all the time. Who right now are you really checking out and that you think people should really listen to a little bit more closely?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people from, you know, sort of my generation that I enjoy listening to a lot. I mean, one of my favorite sax players right now, it's probably Donnie McCaslin.
Mm-hmm.
I love his playing, and I've had a chance to hang with him in New York and sit in a gig that he played, and, yeah, you know, he came to some gigs that I played. So he's a sweetheart, and he's one of the greatest tenor players, I think, that are out there, and I really enjoyed the way he develops his solos and things like that. That should, to me, like, it's one of my favorite guys to listen to at the moment. There's a lot of, I mean, great people out there. I went to school with Antonio Sanchez, yeah, is one of my favorite drummers.
Playing tonight.
And
Matheny.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah.
And we hang out once in a while at gigs. Sometimes I'll come to his gigs, and sometimes I'm playing with Clave Secreto or Mango. He'll come down, and, you know, he's one of my favorites. Jason Palmer and I went to school. I love his playing.
He's,
I think,
great.
He's great.
Yeah.
And I think he's doing very well, and he deserves every bit of it. He's one of the hardest working people I know.
I agree. Yeah.
So those are the people I enjoy listening to.
Yeah. Donnie McCaslin was actually just here. He was at Scholars a couple nights ago. So, and I heard it was great. I have a couple of friends that went, and they completely loved it.
He's a beautiful player.
Yeah. So, my last question for you is, what are your future projects and what do you have in store?
Well, I don't want to talk much about the next
without
project.
Without giving too much away.
Well, I have, I'm hoping that it will happen in the near future. But about a year or so ago, I got this unique chance to go to Africa.
Yes.
And I spent 2 weeks in Uganda, and I visited the countryside and the incredible nature, and I got to hang out with some incredible musicians there and jam and listen to them play. And I have a lot of footage and a lot of recordings of that experience, and I'm very inspired to eventually write what I would say would be sort of an African jazz suite.
Yeah.
But right now I'm looking into the possibilities and finding time. You know, I'm pretty busy with the teaching and other things, and finding the time to really spend time with those recordings and transcribe things and think about how to write, and also the people who are going to be involved with that, and obviously the budget and all that stuff that comes with it. But I'm hoping that, you know, this won't take very long to really become a reality. That would be my next project.
That's very interesting, though. And I do recall you going to Africa, and I remember you even telling that to us. Going to Africa, I'm just going to ask, I mean, what could you just describe in a little bit more detail what that was like? I mean, a lot of people say it's essential as a jazz musician, you know, at some point to eventually go and check that out.
Yes, I do. I mean, I think the people there might have thought it was a little crazy, because a couple of times just talking about it, you know, my eyes filled with water. You know, it's just like coming full circle, especially for me who are I'm really connected with two very strong musical traditions that come from Africa, being jazz and Brazilian music, and then going back to where the source, where everything happened, and just understanding how people most of the time still live the same way, and the musical tradition, it's still passed on the same way, and it's incredible, and people are so open and so into it, and you know, sometimes I would give them my records just because I felt like I had to give them something back, and they would be really into it and invite me over to sit in wow. their gigs, and it was just an incredible lesson. You know, and it takes it's a cultural shock at first.
I'm sure
you get there, and there's so much stuff that you go, oh my God, how do those people live like this? And then right. after a while, you just realize that you can't judge. It's really about, you know, people have different things that they are into, and people are incredibly happy, and their lives are incredibly meaningful, and we have a lot to learn from everywhere we go.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that if you, when you write that piece, it'll be excellent just by how you're describing it. It sounds like it'll be wonderful.
I hope so.
Yes,
thank you.
I'm sure it will be. So we're going to close out with one more tune from this album, and it's the title track, which is called Departure. Where did this title come from, Departure?
Well, it sort of has to do with the fact that I was leaving Brazil to embark into this trip that became my life and my career. And so it's kind of going back to that feeling of, you know, there's so much potential in what's going to happen, you know, and then looking back and saying, well, that was really a leap of faith, you know. So the departure really means my departure from Brazil into what I am now. You know?
Great. Well, we're going to check that out. Again, Philippe, thank you for coming by the studio.
Thank you.
Of course, we really appreciate it. It was a pleasure to have you on. And again, just a reminder that Departure is coming out on the 16th, so this coming Tuesday, and you will be able to find it on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, everywhere you can imagine, I'm sure, online. And also don't forget that if you're in the Boston area, Cambridge area, to come out to this gig on October 25th at 8 p.m. It's at the Multicultural Arts Center in Cambridge, and that's 41 2nd Street. It's going to be a great time, as you can tell by the way it was described. It is definitely an evening not to miss. So again, Philippe, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, and we are going to close up with this track, Departure, followed by a new one from Kenny Garrett. You're listening to Reads and Deeds 2 on WECB.